I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And I like always to remind all of us here concerning the quick passage of time. And in case you are not very, very conscious, my dear friends, we have already come to the middle of the first month of spring. So you see how fast time flies. And very soon, spring will be over, summer will be over, and again we'll be going into that cycle. And friends, let's realize that these cycles are to remind us that there is such a thing as day and there is such a thing as night. While it is day, let us serve the Lord with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength. For the night comes when no man can work. So while we have breath, while we have strength, let us serve the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Now this morning my topic is aliens are here. Aliens are here. I'd like us to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh. The circumcision in the flesh here would be with reference to the Jews, made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens from the spiritual Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now we see the word aliens in verse 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now when we think of aliens, straight away we think of imaginary extraterrestrial beings. Straight away our mind thinks of what? E.T., right? From the movie E.T., and then we think of imaginary outer space monsters. That's what we think of when we think of the word aliens. But here in God's word, this word aliens is used on human beings, and they are aliens. They are aliens because they are not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, they do not have citizenship rights in the spiritual Israel. They are strangers to the kingdom of God. Now, before I talk about aliens, let's refresh our memory concerning another word. And this is the word mystery. And it is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, something which we touched on several messages ago. Ephesians 1 verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, what is a mystery? Now, the mystery that is being spoken of here is not something that is mysterious, that we read of in a detective novel. No, my dear friends, the word mystery here simply refers to the truth of God, which God did not reveal in time past, but he chose to reveal it at a certain time, at an appointed time. That's what a mystery is. It's the truth of God revealed at God's appointed time. Now, in this instance, the mystery is about the culmination of God's plan of salvation, which he revealed to the Apostle Paul and to some others at the time of the great Apostle Paul. So it is the revelation of the culmination of the plan of God's salvation. That's what this mystery is. Now, God had planned from eternity past to bring together in one all things in heaven and in earth. In other words, he planned from eternity past to bring together all the saints throughout the ages, the saints that are currently living, and the saints that are in heaven, the angelic beings, all together as one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the culmination of his salvation plan. Yes, and what a beautiful and grand gathering that will be. The joy of that gathering will be very, very tremendous when all the saints and all the angelic beings come together as one in the Lord Jesus Christ in future. And that gathering, of course, will take place in heaven. And as we said, that gathering will be very magnificent. It will be very, very beautiful and very, very joyous. Now, in Singapore, there is this very beautiful building designed by a very famous Jewish architect. And this building required very, very high power engineering skills to construct. Now, while this construction was in progress some years ago, when my wife returned to Singapore, every time we drove over the Benjamin Sheares Bridge, and as we drove along, we'll see this building on our right-hand side as we came from the east side of east coast of Singapore. And we'll see this building. And this building looked rather unsightly, actually quite ugly looking. You know, it was covered by this safety net, and every time we looked at that building, we didn't know what it was. We didn't look into the net to know what it was, didn't look into the papers. Our remark was, we say, wow, this building is so ugly. That's what we said. We kept on saying that. Then in one of our trips, when we got back, and lo and behold, that building was completed. And what a beautiful, magnificent building it was. Yes, it is the Marina Bay Sands Resort Hotel. It's a very, very beautiful building. It is made up of three towers. On the top of the three towers sits the boat-shaped swimming pool. It's really very beautiful. Now, of course, if you drive along the Benjamin Sheares Bridge, you don't see the real beauty of it. To see the real beauty of it, you've got to go into the sea and then look back. All right, I see pictures of seen pictures of that site. Now, actually, documentary video has been made of this construction of this structure, because a great deal of engineering feat was required to construct this resort. And in the video, you will see the various parts coming together. And this video was made, as I said, because of the great engineering feat. Now, in the video, you see the various parts coming together, assembled together. And as I thought of these structures, or as I think of these structures coming together, I think of the various parts that form the structures that form this building. And these various parts could come from various parts of the world, from some sophisticated factories, or from some remote villages, or some remote jungles, and so forth. Yes, the parts will be bricks, marble tiles, and special ornamental pieces, the piles, the steel frames, the glass panels, and so forth. All these pieces by themselves don't look very, very attractive. Some of them could actually look very ugly. But when all the pieces came together, what a magnificent building the completion of it was. My dear friends, that gives you some idea of what it is going to be like when all the saints from heaven and the saints on this earth and all the angelic beings are gathered together in one. What a magnificent gathering it will be. Now, today, we saints on this earth spread over various countries, in cities and in villages, and do not look very, very impressive. Isn't it true? What is so impressive about us here, worshipping in this little church here in Gladesville in Sydney? What's so great about this congregation? Nothing, friends, nothing. But the day will come when God will gather all of us, together with other saints, and together with all the angelic beings in heaven and all the saints in heaven, into one, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great and magnificent, beautiful gathering that will be. And as I said, the beauty of and the magnificence of the Marina Bay Sands building will be nothing compared to the magnificence and the beauty of that great gathering that is going to take place in heaven someday. Friends, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have the hope of being a part of that gathering. You will have. Yes, and as I said, it is going to be a very, very joyous gathering. No joy in this earth can match that joy. Nothing can match that joy. But unbelievers, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be a part of that great and beautiful and magnificent gathering that is going to take place in heaven. Because you are aliens to the heavenly gathering. Now, if you want to be a part of this heavenly gathering, Yes, if you want to be a part of this gathering, you must be transformed from being aliens to non-aliens. Yes, stop being the aliens to this heavenly gathering. Be non-aliens, be a part of it, be citizens, and then you will be a part of this gathering. Now, but how? How can this happen? How can we be citizens of God's kingdom? How can we be a part of this gathering? Now the answer lies in verse 13. But in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ. You are brought near by the blood of Christ. Now the price for being changed from aliens to citizens is very, very costly. We can't pay the price. Christ paid it for us. And he did it with what? He did it with his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, we mustn't underemphasize the importance of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we shall see a little later on. Yes, as some churches do, they don't talk about the blood of Christ. If there is no blood of Christ being spoken in the message, I can tell you there's really no gospel. The blood of Christ must be preached, it must be spoken of. And then infinitely great power is required to cause this change to take place, the change from our being aliens to non-aliens to citizens. Yes, great power is required for this change to take place. And what is this power? Now, this power is none other than the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power by which he raised himself up from the dead. And Paul wanted the Christians at Ephesus to know this power. Remember, we spoke about it some few messages ago in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Yes, Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, and he wanted them to know this power. He wrote to them, and he said this, I pray that you may know, verse 19 of chapter 1, I pray that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So what is this power that is so great and so immense, which the great apostle Paul wanted the Christians at Ephesus to know? It is the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this power that is able to transform aliens to become non-aliens, to become citizens of the kingdom of God. My dear friends, if your sins have not been purged by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross of Calvary, you can be very, very sure that you are an alien to the kingdom of God. You are an alien to that great gathering that is going to take place someday in heaven. Now, our salvation, which involves our being changed from aliens to citizens, has both depth as well as distance. It has both depth and distance. It has depth in that as aliens, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Yes, is that because as aliens, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were living a living death, as we spoke about some messages ago. We were living a living death, guided by what? Guided by the thinking and the mentality of people in the world, guided by the prince of the power of the air, by Satan, guided by our sinful flesh. Yes, we had these three guides. We were living a living death. But Christ shed his precious blood to pay for the penalty of our sins. And by his resurrection power, the greatness of which is exceeding, has saved us out of this depth, from this great depth of this horrible pit of sin and of condemnation. Yes, he has saved us from that great death. And the more we realize how dead we were in trespasses and sin, the more we realize the greatness of this power in pulling us out of this death. Now our salvation also has reference to distance. And the more we realize how much we are separated from the one true living God, the more we realize what kind of aliens we are or we were, the more we realize the greatness of this power in drawing us to him. We were distanced from him, separated from him, but we were drawn nigh to him so that we no longer are aliens. Now, I'd like us to see the kind of aliens we were before we were converted, before we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 11 again. Wherefore, chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Gentiles were called uncircumcision by whom? Called uncircumcision by the circumcision in the flesh. In other words, called uncircumcision by the Jews. Yes, we were aliens in that we were Gentiles. We were aliens to Jews. That was what Paul told the Christians at Ephesus. You know, you are Gentiles. You are non-Jews. You are called the uncircumcision by the circumcision, by the Jews. Yes. Now, to understand the importance of circumcision to the Jews, we need to understand the importance of circumcision we need to go back to the time of Abraham. Yes, you remember, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. God called him out. And God made this promise when God called him, Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And then God also said this, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was the promise that God made to Abraham. And Abraham said, yes, I will go. And he responded to the call, and he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then later on went into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Then after 15 years in the land of Canaan, he still didn't have a son. Yes, and one day God spoke to him and said, Abraham, come Abraham, I make a covenant with you. And what was the covenant? And the covenant was this, Abraham, you and your children will be my people, I will be your God. Now what kind of covenant is that? Yes, it's more like a promise. It was not an agreement, it was more like a promise. Abraham, you and your descendants will be my people, I will be your God. And then God, of course, had to seal that covenant. Now today, if you wanted to adopt a child, your adoption has to be properly documented. Your documentation has to be legally prepared. And your document will have to be properly signed by you, and then also probably signed by the one who allows his son or daughter to be adopted by you. And then the document in some countries probably will have to be stamped or sealed by some legal authority. Now, friends, when God gave that covenant to Abraham, the sign and the seal were not a handwritten signature by the one true living God. It was not a stamp applied by some legal authority. But what was the sign? My dear friends, the sign of the covenant was the sign of circumcision. God chose it as a sign for the covenant that he made with Abraham. Now, so circumcision was the sign that God used to show that the Jews were God's specially chosen people. So you see, that was the significance of the circumcision, sign of the circumcision to the Jews. It was a sign of the circumcision that God made with, was for the covenant that God made with their ancestor Abraham. Gentiles were not circumcised. They were aliens, not God's people. That was how far we were from the one true living God before we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. That was the kind of aliens we were, separated from the one true living God. That was how far we were from the one true living God. We are the uncircumcised. But the Jews had overemphasized the importance of physical circumcision. They thought that they were true blue Jews by the sign of circumcision. They were saying, we have been circumcised. We are children of Abraham, sons of Abraham. We belong to God. God belongs to us. We have salvation. Yes. And only Jews have salvation. Yes. And what about Gentiles? How did the Jews look at Gentiles? Now, as far as Jews were concerned, Gentiles were to some Jews, Gentiles were not even people. Gentiles were what? Gentiles were uncircumcised gentle dogs. Gentle dogs. Uncircumcised gentle dogs. That is what Gentiles were to some Jews. So can you see how much the Jews had alienated the Gentiles? They thought that only they were God's people, but Gentiles were despised aliens. Only Jews had access to the one true living God, but not Gentiles. Now, what is the basic reason for Jews alienating Gentiles? Why did they exaggerate the importance of circumcision and were so prejudiced against the Gentiles? Friends, essentially, it was pride. They were proud of their religious privileges. We are Abraham's children. We are circumcised. And we are observing the laws that have been given to us through the great Moses. But, friends, before we are very, very critical of the Jews for alienating the Gentiles, let us look at ourselves. Yes, are we guilty of alienating other people? Do we alienate others because we think that we are holier than they, more spiritual than they are not spiritually qualified to fellowship with us? Or do we alienate them because we think they belong to a class that is lower than us? They are of lower social status and therefore we cannot relate with them. Or do we alienate them because they are not as smart as we are, not as brilliant as we are, not as intelligent as we are? So friends, when we Gentiles are critical of the Jews for being prejudiced against the uncircumcised, let us be very, very aware that we not be alienating others. Yes, when we want to criticize the Jews, let's look at ourselves first. Now the next question is, what is a true Jew? What is a true Jew? Is he one who has been physically circumcised? The answer is no. He could be physically circumcised and he may not be a Jew. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 28. I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 and verse 29. Yes, Paul says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly." In other words, by appearance, he could be a Jew. From the standpoint of race, he could be a Jew. "Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Even if the Jew is circumcised, he is not necessarily a Jew. Verse 29. "For he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God." In other words, the physical circumcision a Jew undergoes does not make the Jew a Jew, but it is spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of the heart, that makes a Jew a Jew. Now, what is meant by the circumcision of the heart? What it simply means is that it is the putting to death of the sinful nature. That's what is meant by circumcision of the heart, putting to death of the sinful nature, of the sinful flesh. And that is the thing that counts as far as God is concerned. Now, it is a change of the sinful heart to a new heart, to a heart of flesh. Yes? And that is the thing that counts, and not physical circumcision. In other words, a Jew does not belong to God if his circumcision is only physical and not spiritual. It has to be the circumcision of the heart. Friends, if we want to be true spiritual Jews, of course we cannot become physical Jews, because if we are Chinese, we are Chinese. If we are Indians, we are Indians. We cannot become physical Jews. But friends, we can become spiritual Jews. Now, if we want to be true spiritual Jews, to be God's people, our hearts must be spiritually circumcised. Yes, we must put off the sinful flesh, even our sinful nature, and be truly converted. It is only then that we become spiritual seeds of Abraham. It is only then we become true spiritual Jews. Now we see this human alienation between Jews and Gentiles. The divide is so great between Jews and Gentiles. Jews looking at Gentiles and say, "You are uncircumcised Gentile dogs. We are saved. We are Abraham's children. We are the circumcision." So you see, the divide between the Jews and Gentiles is really very, very great. How could God bring Jews and Gentiles together so that they will bow their knees and worship the one true living God as one people? How could God do that? Of course, with man it is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. God has the solution. And he had planned for this togetherness to take place even from eternity past. Let's go back to the same verse. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Alright. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. For from eternity past, God had planned for this to take place already. As we said, to man, this gathering is impossible. This breaking down of the barrier between Jews and Gentiles is impossible, but not impossible with God. You see, the answer is given in verses 13 and 14, the verses we read earlier on. Verse 13, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles, this has been broken down by whom? By the blood, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood. You understand now? Alright, it is by the blood of Christ that these two, the Gentiles and Jews, can come together. Now, there is actually a more serious alienation than this alienation between Jews and Gentiles. And this is the alienation between us and the one true living God. And if this alienation between us and the one true living God is removed, then automatically this alienation between Jews and Gentiles would be removed. Now, if we are unbelievers, we are aliens to God. We are in fact aliens to God, God's fellowship. So first of all, we were aliens to the gathering in heaven. We are aliens to the Jews. Now we are also aliens to God's fellowship if we are unbelievers. And actually, who alienated himself from whom? Actually, it is we who alienated ourselves from the one true living God. You see, originally, the human race was not meant to be alienated from the one true living God. When God created our first parents, he created them perfect, which means this: our first parents and God had wonderful, perfect fellowship. But our first parents sinned against the one true living God. They disobeyed him, they rebelled against him. The result was they were alienated from the one true living God, separated from him. And not only were they separated from him, not only were our first parents alienated from him, their descendants, we, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, have also been separated or alienated from the one true living God. You see, we have all inherited the sinful nature of Adam. Our natural inclination, because of what we have inherited, our natural inclination is to work evil. We have broken all of God's laws. As we said many times before, we lie, we cheat, yes, we steal, we commit adultery, we murder with our tongues, and we don't honor our parents, and worst of all, we do not love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, which is God's a requirement for our relationship with him. Love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In other words, friends, we have sinned. And by our wicked works, we have alienated ourselves from him. Now, I didn't say this. God's word says so. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, you see that it is by our wicked works that we alienated ourselves from the one true living God. Colossians 1:21. I read for you, Colossians 1:21. And you, Paul says, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by what? By wicked works. You see, we alienated ourselves from the one true living God. Yet now has he reconciled. Mercifully, he has reconciled us to the one true living God through his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He had already put the plan of salvation in place from eternity past, knowing that one day knowing that men would fall. Yes. So there was a time in human history, in accordance with God's plan, he called this man Abraham and made this covenant with him. Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God raised a people, the Jews, who would be God's witness. Right? God's witnesses. I'd like us to look at verse 12 again. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now the Jews were meant to be a blessing to others. They were meant to be witnesses for the one true living God. Through them, other nations might come to trust the one true living God. They might come to know the Lord. And God gave them his covenants of promise. The word of God says here in verse 12, yes, the covenants of promise. God gave them the covenants of promise. Now, what are these covenants of promise? There are numerous, but all these covenants of promise refer to this promise, this covenant that God made with Abraham, that God will raise a nation, a great nation out of Abraham, and in him shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because through this nation will come the Messiah. God will send the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So all these covenants of promise are based on that promise that God, that covenant that God made with Abraham. Now what about us Gentiles? Now before we were believers, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, we did not have any citizenship rights at all in the spiritual Israel. We were outsiders. Now, in regards to the covenants of promise God made with the Jews, we were strangers. In other words, we had no, we were not beneficiaries to this covenants that God made with the Jews. Now, did you know anything about the covenants of promise? Did you? None of us knew before we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you possibly never heard of this term, covenants of promise, until this morning. Isn't it true? Yes, we all didn't know all this. Yes, but did the Jews know? Yes, they knew. Did the Jews know God? Yes, they knew God. At least in the head, they would have known God. Did we Gentiles know God? No, we did not. We were without God. We didn't have God. We were not God's people. Before we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have spiritual life, we were spiritually dead. And if we died at that time, my dear friends, we would be eternally separated from the one true living God. So you see how distant we were from God. Aliens, condemned. We were without Christ, without hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and of being like him. And we will not have that hope of being a part of that great gathering that is going to take place in heaven. And today, if you are an unbeliever, this is your state. This is the state you are in. You are an alien to God. You have no hope. Now, as we said, the Jews were supposed to be a blessing to others. Through them, other nations might come to trust God as their God. Instead, as we said many times already, they put a barrier between themselves and the Gentiles and to other nations. But were they really God's people? No, my dear friends. If they were unbelieving Jews who relied on their external religious practices, and if they depended on their circumcision, if they depended on the observance of the laws of Moses, my dear friends, they would not be God's people. In other words, unbelieving Jews are no better than unbelieving Gentiles. All are aliens. Unbelieving Jews are aliens to the one true living God, as much as unbelieving Gentiles are aliens to the one true living God. Now, how can this alienation from God be removed? How? How can this alienation between us and God be removed? The answer is in verse 13 again. Let's read verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, let's read this together. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, it is the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary that brings us near to the one true living God, so that we cease being aliens. Now, to understand the significance of the blood of Christ in bringing us from far off into the presence of God, we need to go back to the Old Testament. Now, the Word of God tells us that in the Old Testament, before the Temple of Jerusalem was built, there was the Tabernacle of God. Then when the Temple of Jerusalem was built, then the God's people no longer worship in the Tabernacle. But whether it was the Tabernacle of God or whether it was the Temple of God, there was one room in this structure that was known as the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. The most holy room. And this room was representative of heaven, representative of God's presence. And separating this Holy of Holies from another larger room, a room which was larger, known as the Holy Place, was a veil. Yes? And nobody could enter into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. And he could do that only once per year. Not every day, but once per year. Only once per year he could enter. But before he did that, he had to sacrifice a bullock for his own sins. The bullock had to be sacrificed, and when the bullock was sacrificed, of course the blood of the bullock was shed. And only after that he could enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. My dear friends, that blood that was shed, the blood of the bullock that was shed, was pointing to another blood. Even the blood of the Lamb, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, so we read in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. I'd like us very quickly to look at Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, but please keep your finger at Ephesians chapter 2. Hebrews 9 12. Let me read a verse for you. Hebrews 9 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our high priest, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He shed his precious blood to enable us to enter into the Holy of Holies. The precious blood was not shed for himself, because our Savior is perfectly holy. But he shed the precious blood for our redemption. He shed our precious blood so that we may be able to enter into the Holy of Holies. When the Lord was crucified, the Word of God tells us that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was torn from top to bottom. Now, what did this signify? It signified that now the way to heaven is open. The way into the presence of God is open for all those who trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The way is open. The veil is torn from top to bottom. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. How could we have this boldness, friends? We could have this boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We could enter into heaven because of this precious blood that was shed for us. And then the writer of Hebrews carries on and he says, let us now draw nigh to God. You see, the blood was shed for us. Now we may be able to draw nigh to God. Now if we understand this truth, then Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 becomes meaningful. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. Chapter 2 verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you see, this verse now becomes very, very meaningful. In other words, aliens can stop being aliens. We have been made nigh, brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And it makes no difference whether you are a Jewish alien or whether you are a Gentile alien, my dear friends, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in His precious blood to save you, you will no longer be aliens. You will be made citizens of the one true living God by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, among all the people in the world, there is only one difference. It's whether you are an alien or a non-alien. Now, if you are not an alien, if you are a citizen of, if you are not an alien, then you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. And my dear friends, if you are a child of God, whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile, whether you are a man or woman, a child, a slave or a free person, we are the same, equal in the sight of the one true living God. And so we read this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Very quickly, let's turn to these two verses. I think good for us to refer to the Word of God. Okay, Galatians 3, 28, 29. Galatians 3, 28, 29. Okay, I read for you. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are in Christ, you become Abraham's spiritual children. In other words, you become spiritual Jews. You are heirs according to the promise. Yes, and all this is made possible. Our citizenship in the kingdom of God is made possible by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what God says He's going to do in the future of having all the saints gathered together with the angelic beings and all the saints in heaven, what He says He's going to do to gather all this together will be done. He will surely carry it out. But understand this truth also. If Christ shed His precious blood but didn't rise up from the dead, aliens will still remain as aliens. Yes, nothing was going to change. But the truth was, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ not only shed His precious blood for us, He not only died for us, but He rose up from the dead for us. And this resurrection power that raised Him up from the dead is that same power that breaks all barriers. Barriers between us and the one true living God, and barriers between Jews and Gentiles. Yes, all barriers are broken in the kingdom of God because of the precious blood that was shed for us and broken by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, I ask you this question. Are you an alien or are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? All of us today can draw nigh to God because of the precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary, even the blood of the Lamb of God. Trust in His precious blood today to draw nigh to God. Yes, you trust in His precious blood, and this same resurrection power that Jesus raised Himself up from the dead will be applied to you, and you will be drawn nigh to God by this resurrection power. The question is, would you want to remain an alien, or would you want to become a citizen of heaven? September 17th, a few days' time, Australia celebrates what is known as Citizenship Day. I'm not very, very familiar with this because I'm not a citizen. But on September 17th, Australia is going to celebrate Citizenship Day. And that's the day that all the people who have become citizens of Australia will celebrate their citizenship. But they actually were sworn in as citizens on which day? Australia Day, right? January 26th of every year. Now, on January 26th every year, the head of state, the Governor General of Australia, would ceremonially welcome the new citizens into Australia to become citizens of Australia. And all the new citizens will then enjoy the rights and privileges of becoming citizens of the country. But friends, imagine you were one of those that was welcomed by the head of state, the Governor General. Does he know you personally? He only knows you ceremonially. Yes, he doesn't even know your name. He doesn't know your face. As far as he's concerned, you are just a nameless, faceless person. That's all. Yes, but imagine something very, very extraordinary happening. Let's say before you became a citizen, welcome as a citizen by the Governor General writes a letter to you in his own handwriting, not even typewritten, handwritten and signed by him. And he said, welcome to Australia. You are now welcome to be a citizen of Australia. Now, I want to get to know you better. Would you come and have tea with me every month? Yes, come and have tea with me every month. And then, and don't feel shy to call me, you know. Anytime you feel like calling me, just pick up the phone and call me. Said, wow, this kind of relationship is really unthinkable between the head of state and a new citizen of the country. It's unthinkable. Now, impossible for the Governor General to do that, even for one person, let alone talking about so many thousands of people becoming citizens of the country. But friends, understand this truth. When the Lord changes us from aliens to citizens, He does infinitely more than that imaginary thing that the Governor General would do. Remember, He is not only a head of state. He's not just a head of state, but He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe. And He is our Creator and our Redeemer. He gave His life for us to change us from being aliens to citizens. Yes, we are not some nameless, faceless citizens to Him. He knows each one of us by name. He knows us intimately. He knows our every need. He's so very close to us. He even indwells us. He tells us, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And how far is He away from us as far as communicating with Him is concerned? My dear friends, as we said many times before, He's only one prayer away. That's how far He is from us. And that's how close He is from us. He's close to us. My dear friends, that is what He does for us when He changes us from aliens to citizens of His kingdom. So friends, why would you want to remain an alien? Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be the valued citizen that He wants you to be? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your mercies. Lord, we pray that You will help us to understand this great privilege that we have of being saved from being aliens to become citizens of Your kingdom. Lord, we thank You that You did that at a very, very great price, even the price of the blood of Your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank You that by His resurrection power, we have been drawn nigh to our Lord. And this morning, O Lord, we pray that You will be pleased to cleanse us of all our sins and our iniquities. And we pray for those who are still not in Your kingdom and who are aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We pray that You will speak to them, Lord. We pray that Your Holy Spirit may work in their hearts to cause them to come to trust in that precious blood that was shed for them on the cross of Calvary and be drawn to You by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose blessed name we pray. Amen.